Okay, so the story is told that the students of Rabbi Akiva, we know Rabbi Akiva had many, many students, and Rabbi Akiva invested in his students. He once had a student who was ill, and the other students figured, no, he's really sick. What's going to be? It doesn't look good for him. Rabbi Akiva went over to that student's house, found the student lying in a dark room. No one had taken out his pan. You know, in those days, the sick people made in the pan under their bed. He had all the filth in the room, and it was musty and stinky, and no one had been there to sweep or air out the room, change his linen. So along comes Rabbi Akiva with his long beard, his talis, his tefillin, he puts on the side, and he starts bending over and sweeping the guy's house, changes his linen, changes the dustpan, opens the windows, airs out the room, brings the guy fresh food. And the guy got better and came back to yeshiva. And he went and kissed Rabbi Akiva and said, Rabbi, you saved my life. I would have died if I would have stayed in the house like that. You came and took care of me, aired out the room, took care of everything. That's what saved my life. And on that day, Rabbi Akiva taught, you should know that when you do Bikur Chom, you're not just visiting the sick, you're saving their life. Sometimes we have guys who leave the machon and they're bachelors, they live on their own. Who takes care of them when they get sick? You know, guys should really be in touch with one another, hear how one another is doing. And me, it bothers when one of the guys here is sick and no one tells me. I should know. I want to visit the guy. I want to hear how he's doing. This is a tremendous mitzvah. We're still going to learn in the Chafetz Chaim. He says, how come people don't appreciate the value of this mitzvah? You're saving a life. You could be saving a life. And I'll tell you an amazing story from our neighborhood. There's an amazing tzaddikus in our neighborhood. You guys know her husband. She teaches all over the country. She's one of the most sought after lecturers. Her husband teaches here in Machon Meir, Rav Alex El Yasaf. And his wife, she has tens of thousands of students. She teaches all over the country. And in their modest way, their house is a house that shines all over the neighborhood. So there was once a couple where the wife was sick here in the neighborhood. And I knew she had a lot of girls who she taught. So I went and I knocked on her door. And I said, you know, maybe you have girls who learn by you, who could come and help once or twice a week clean up by this woman who's ill, help clean up the apartment. So she said, you're so right. It's so important. It's so important to clean up. I'm going to try to take care of it. She didn't say too much more. And the next morning when I came to that house, I find her and the friend sweeping and cleaning. And you're talking about a woman who lectures all over the country. You know, they have cars taking her from north to south, all over the country teaching. But she found a hole, she found a half hour, 45 minutes. She didn't ask a student, she herself went. She went there, and she was sweeping and cleaning. And of course, when I walked in, she said, oh, I'll get the students, don't worry. Right. For months, she, without asking anyone, without fanfare, she went and she cleaned up. That's our modern day Rabbi Akiva. So, that was just an introduction. The students of Rabbi Akiva, yeah.
I noticed just the rabbi asked before why today's mikrochol is being disregarded. The rabbi also said she. There is a very big stigma for mikrocholimus for women.
Ah, yeah. Well, the Derech Eretz is that women visit women. No. Yeah. It's women should visit women and men should visit men. No, it's the idea of the mitzvah is that. We have to do it in a modest way. It's not modest that a man should walk into a room where a woman's lying in bed. That's not modest. Women should be visiting women, and men should be visiting men.
Right.
When I went there, I was dealing with medical things with the family. I never walked foot into the bedroom till after she died. I never saw what the room looked like. Never. Her husband was always there when I came, and I never saw her in bed. Never. In my whole life. I mean, in her whole life. The modest way of doing Bikur Chom is that men visit men and women visit women. There are issues where men can help and there are issues where women can help. Each one has to do their thing.
Today, if you look around people, they find that men mostly won't do it because they have the stigma of being a girl in yourself.
So I'll tell you another story. That woman, before she went for treatment, asked for a blessing from Rabbi Shapiro, Chief Rabbi of Israel. And he was in his last days. He was already a weak man. So he couldn't make it out to her. He wanted to go visit her. She wanted a blessing from him. So the deal was that they'd bring the van next to his house when she was on her way to treatment. So they brought the ambulance next to his house, and then she wanted to go up, Chief Rabbi of Israel. So he sent word down, tell her she shouldn't dare come up. I'm coming down to her. So it wasn't easy for him, climbing down the steps, came down and blessed her, and he did this two or three times, I remember, because we arranged it then. He went down. That was the furthest he could go to do his Bikur Cholim. He couldn't go to her house. He wasn't leaving the house in those days. He was already bedridden. But he wouldn't let her come up to him. He went down to give her his blessing before she got the treatment. So we see, Rabbi Kiva Iger, he was the chief rabbi of the town. He'd start his morning by going to the town hospital to visit all the sick. I remember once walking with Rabbi Feinstein, seeing him get on a New York bus. Couldn't figure out, where is he going on a regular bus? So I asked the guy who always used to take care of his stuff. The guy told me, one of the people who used to be part of the community is in the hospital up, Midtown, Uptown. So he's going to visit him. He visits him weekly. The giants of the Jewish people did do Bikur Cholim constantly. They you could find them in hospitals visiting the sick. Rav David Feinstein, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son. So you'll see that often. The giants of the Jewish people did do Bikur Cholim. The common folk don't appreciate the mitzvah. Look, here at Machon Meir, much to my charging, the guys aren't aware of the importance of the mitzvah. And we have guys who undergo kiyul, and then they have their circumcision. And how many people visit them? I know that when I come, I'm usually the one who buys them their medication. So it certainly gives me the feeling that not enough people are visiting them. But it's a problem. It shouldn't be that way. Okay, so back to Rabbi Akiva's students. So Rabbi Akiva's students were walking from the north to the south, and they reached the city of Kiziv. And they're walking together, and they're going on the path, and suddenly they hear war cries, and a group of people start running towards them, and they see the people with swords drawn and sticks, and they're charging and attacking, and they understood that these were bandits. Now, the students didn't have weapons with them. So you have a group of students, and you have a group of bandits with war cries charging at them, and the students see that they're outnumbered, and they see that they have ammunition, they have their weapons, and the students have nothing. So one of them said, no, let's try to outsmart them, and Hashem should help us, we'll make it out in peace. And the bandits come, and they see the group of students, and they start surveying. They look at their prey. And they had hoped, they saw a group, a caravan going together, that these were people who maybe were carrying wealth, maybe they were merchants. Now they see they're students. There's not much to steal from students. You guys know that, right? So they figured they should at least take the little bit of money they have and the clothing they have. So the bandits come, and now they ask in a friendly way, where are you guys going? So the students had agreed that they're going to tell them Akko. And they made believe that they hadn't noticed that the bandits had let out a war cry and initially were charging with their weapons drawn. So the bandits hear that they're traveling for a distance, they're going to travel all the way to Akko. So the bandits said, you know what, we're not far from the city of Kiziv. Who knows, if we try to attack them now, if one of them will escape to the city of Kiziv, they'll get help, they'll come and help them. So the head of the bandits said to the student, to the other bandits, let's play the game. We'll go with them peacefully till Kiziv. When we pass the city of Kiziv, when we hit a more desolate place, then we'll pounce them and take all their money. So the head of the bandit said, "You guys are traveling such a long way. You know, we shouldn't let you travel alone like that in these dangerous territories. You should have accompaniment. We heard there are bandits in these parts. So we'll accompany you till Akko. We'll protect you." So the students say, "Oh, thank you so much, but we're okay." So the bandits say, "No, don't worry about it, not a thing. We'll join you. We'll walk with you. We have weapons. You guys will be okay with us." And they wink to one another. The bandits wink to one another. The students were quiet. They figure they can't argue with the bandits. They continued traveling. When they came near the city of Kziv, so they were close to the city. They started seeing the city. They saw all the farmers standing outside the city working. And they turned to the bandits and they said, "Thank you so much for your accompaniment. You know what? We decided we're not going to Akko. We're staying here in Kziv." So the bandits understood that over here, right near the city, they couldn't attack them. Too many people were around. So they turned to them and they said, the head of the bandits said, "You know, I see you guys are smart. You're Talmidei Chacham. Whose students are you?" So they answered back and they said, "We're the students of Rabbi Akiva." So he said, "Praised is Rabbi Akiva and praised are his students. I couldn't touch them. Your wisdom saved you. Yours, the zchut and the wisdom have stood by you and saved you," and the bandits fled. Chazal say, where do we learn this concept from? We learn this concept from Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov was offered by Esav, "Let me accompany you," Yaakov said to Esav, "No, I'll get to Seir. I got a long way to go." Chazal said, when you're traveling and you have a person who could endanger your life, always tell him you're still going to travel a long distance. He should feel like he has time before he pounces on you. We learn it from Yaakov. Yaakov said to Esav, "I'm going a distance. I'm going all the way to Seir." So Esav said, "Okay, we'll still meet up." And Esav figured, "I'll still pounce on him. I'll still take his wealth. I have time." In truth, Yaakov wasn't headed there. Chazal said, whenever you talk to someone who might endanger you, yachiv lo aderech. I used this tactic once. I don't know if you guys remember when the second Intifada started. I don't know if it made the news in the United States. There were a few times that taxi drivers, Arab taxi drivers, tried to abduct girls or boys. And one time it worked. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures. The boy that was taken into the Arab quarter in the old city. And they made a riot. They tried to lynch him. That's the famous story where the New York Times has a picture of the Jewish soldier with his gun over a person. And it's a lie. He had his gun over the Jew protecting him. But they took advantage of a story that looked bad, a picture that looked bad. So it was the Jew that was totally beaten by Arabs, and the soldier came to save his life. So I found myself in a taxi where I thought the guy was Jewish, and then I realized he wasn't. So I did some quick thinking, figuring where I have to go, and I said to him, "You know what? I need 5 stops. Let's make the first stop here. I know I told you I'd be traveling. I don't remember where I was going at that time. Let's say we say the old city. I said, I know I told you I'd travel to the old city, but I just realized they got to bring a cake. Let's stop off at this bakery, and then I'll bring a cake, and then we'll stop off at this place and that place, and then we'll continue to the old city." So the guy, his meter's running. He's very happy. He's going to make a lot of money. When he stops off at the bakery, I get out, and I say, "You know what? I just realized I forgot something. I'm going to have to head back. I'm going to go get the cake. Let me just pay you for your time, and goodbye." If I would have told him off the bat, I'm following the streets you're going and I got a knife in my pocket and whatever, sometimes you walk into taxi cabs, I don't know if you guys noticed, the buttons aren't there. You can't unlock the door.
Really?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that way. But I noticed when I was sitting in the back of the taxi that's the taxi I was sitting in. And I noticed after I was in that the guy wasn't the Jew I thought he was. And after hearing stories, I wasn't about to test my luck. So I thought back to this chazal. And I told the guy, we got to make 5 stops along the way. So let's just stop here, and then we'll continue there, and then we'll continue there. And he stopped. He figured he's got everything to gain. My last stop was near an Arab village. So I don't know what he was thinking, but I wasn't about to find out. So that's this rule that Chazal said. When you're dealing with someone who could endanger your life, always make believe you're going further than you really are.